You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, welcome to Wall Trip Unfiltered. We have a great show lined up for you today. Bubba Pollard, a short track legend. How about that? He's a legend. He's only 31 years old. So much respect for this man, how he's fought and just worked so hard to win races. And he's starting to get a lot of recognition. Kyle Busch appreciates him, respects him. Dale Jr. let him drive his late model this past weekend in Martinsville. We'll talk about those relationships, and we're going to talk about a whole lot more with Bubba right now.
Be ready. Green flag, green flag.
Ah, Bubba, welcome to Wall Trip Unfiltered.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming to the Fox Sports Studios here and sharing some stories. I've heard about you my whole life, or that's not true. I'm older than you. I've heard about you your whole life. How's that? About racing short tracks and the successes you've had, and people really respect and appreciate what you're able to do behind the wheel, and that's cool.
It is. You know, the response we've gotten over the last couple of years has been unbelievable. Just, we get to race all the time. I think that's the only reason people know me. We just have the opportunity to race a lot and put our name out there more. And from time to time, we win races. So it's been good for us.
How many have you run 30-some races this year already?
We have. We run 32 races. So we got four or five left. Hopefully, we can get some more victories. We got the Snowball Derby here at the end of the year that your brother won, supposedly, in 1977. So it's a funny story. But
I want to hear it, because I've always heard about the All-American 400, which you've won, the World Crown 300, mm-hmm. the Snowball Derby. Those are legendary races, and my brother did win the Snowball Derby. What's the story?
Well, it is funny, because, you know, he won it in 77, but technically he didn't win it. It's funny, 2008, 9, 10, I drove for a guy named Ronnie Sanders.
Yeah.
And Ronnie actually was declared the winner. So I think your brother kept the trophy. I've gotten Ronnie's side to the story. And,
yeah, we'll have to get Daryl's.
Yeah. So it's funny to hear those guys, you know, talk about that and the history that races has gotten and become nowadays is pretty cool.
Wasn't he number 16?
18.
18. I remember that car when he'd come
red,
to Nashville. And
red,
what has been your history at the Snowball Derby?
Well, it's been a tough one for us. We go down there throughout the summer and run the Blizzard races, and we can win. I think we've won the last 14 out of 17 down there.
Wow!
And over the years, but when it comes down to the Snowball Derby, we just can't get it done. And you know, a lot of those big teams bring the pit crews and things like that. And we haven't had the greatest, but we've had some good guys. And it's been a challenge for us. They changed the format this year. I think you're going to see some new winners possibly win the Snowball Derby in the next couple of years. So we're excited about that. We've had cars capable of winning, just hadn't been able to make it happen. It's about, almost like the Dale Earnhardt of Daytona 500.
He finally
won it. So hopefully we can get it done.
You said you've run 32 races this year. Have you won 14?
We've won 14 plus some dirt races. So we've won a couple of dirt races, maybe two or three right there at Sonoy at home. So we've had fun.
Where are you putting all those trophies?
Well, we got them at the shop. We got a guy that hangs around the shop and cleans them and puts them up for us. And it's cool to be able to keep all those trophies and one day tell your kids and your story. So it's cool.
That's awesome. We've got our social media guru here, CJ Ford, over there in the corner. You brought Dan along. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you. Funny story. I played golf with Billy Andrade yesterday, and Dan walks into this studio here, and he gave Billy tennis lessons when he was a kid. Yeah. How funny is that?
That's pretty cool. You know, Dan's helped us out for the last couple of years, and I think he's a lot better tennis player than he is work on race car.
Well, you know, you got to have some volunteer help get up and down the road, right?
Definitely. You know, all these guys put in a lot of hard work and effort to do this. You can't do it by yourself, so you got to have some good guys.
Right. What do you got, CJ? We got some questions from both Twitter and Reddit, and I'll just tell you something. If you want to put some people into a into a frenzy on Twitter. Tell them that you don't think there ought to be pit stops in the Xfinity race or pit crews doing the pit stops in the Xfinity race or the truck series. They seem to take a offense to that. I'm just saying this to you. Hear me now, believe me later.
That's right.
We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, the social team had an interesting week with that one. It was fun, though. But so Ronnie Sanders already came up, and this is from a former Speed 51 writer is how they signed it on Reddit. And they would like to know, well, first they called you Andrew in the question, but they said, what's your best Ronnie Sanders story?
Wow, there's a lot of them.
It'd have to, one of them would be that he won the Snowball Derby and Daryl didn't.
Exactly. Man. So, looking back, when I was younger, I started racing at what they call South Alabama, which is Op, which is in the middle of nowhere. I was probably 14, 15 years old, and you always grew up, you know, hearing about Ronnie Sanders and wanting to race against him. So, I'm racing against Ronnie, and I have a fast car that day. And here he comes. Ronnie is probably the toughest guy to pass, and not knowing I'd drive for him at the time, you know. So, I'm rubbing on him a little bit, and he's holding me down. He's tough. And one lap, we come off two there. They didn't have no outside wall. He just runs off the back and comes in the pits after the race. I don't know, remember where we finished that day. Comes in after the race, and he's mad. Oh, I was like, missing that. I just pissed off Ronnie Sanders.
Yeah. Know?
So he's mad, and he's yelling at me and this, that, and the other. His wife walks down. She goes, you know, that wasn't his fault. And it's like he tucked his tail and walked out of there, you know. It was funny. And then
you were just a kid.
I was just a kid. I was scared to death.
He's, yeah,
like, Ryan Sanders mad at me. So it really, you know, she's like, you just looked in the mirror and messed up. And then I always thought that was funny. And then going to drive for him over the years, it was pretty cool. So we talked about it a little bit. He won't say much about it, but it was funny.
those short tracks in the South, and all, I'm sure there was a, you're a big old boy, I'm sure there was a scuffle or two you had to work your way through.
Well, from time to time, you race short track long enough, you're gonna get into it with some guys. But yeah, we kind of had a little scuffle here a couple weeks ago.
I think I saw that.
Yeah,
on
unfortunate.
I saw a video of that.
Yeah, it happens from time to time, but you know, you gotta stand up for yourself. You gotta stand your ground sometimes, and there's only so much you can take. So
yeah,
I grew up racing. My dad, he taught me, you know, be respectful and race guys how you want to be raced, but at the same time, you gotta stand up when you're right. And that's what kind of happened 2 weeks ago.
You sounded just now just like Dale Earnhardt. We just did a documentary about the day I won the Daytona 500 and we lost Dale. And there's an interview from, it looked like about, maybe it was the mid-80s, before he was a Wrangler guy. I remember that Wrangler hat. So maybe early 80s. And he said, you know, a guy wants to rub you, you stand your ground.
That's right.
And you stand your ground, and sometimes you make a man mad, but a lot of times you win races.
That's right.
And it's like, it was like you saw Dale say that. Yeah. It was exactly the same, and yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it is. Growing up, I was a Dale Earnhardt fan, you know, and that's that intimidator. That's kind of, you gotta, those guys, you can play mind games with them, and that's where I think he had those guys beat. Looking back now, I didn't understand it when I was younger, you know, and getting to the race, and we've gotten the race, we won a lot of races, and those guys, it does, the intimidator stands, it lives up to his name, you know. I don't try to intimidate guys, but when they see you coming, when the spotters tell you coming, they'll drive you differently. You know, they think, oh God, Bo Parker's in my mirror. You know, he's behind me. So 99% of the time they mess up. So, and I just he's by him. But
yeah,
that's kind of where it all started with me. You know, that was my one of my heroes.
That was I loved hearing you say that. That made me smile. What else? What do you got, CJ? Let's this will lead us to some more great conversation.
Absolutely. So again, just want to say thank you to everybody on Twitter for tweeting hashtag Ask Mikey to be a part of the show every week. We always post a thread for the upcoming guests, and that's where you can reply and play along with us here in the Waltrip Unfiltered studio. But the next one we have coming in is from Mick. And Mick would like to know on Twitter, what's the number one thing you wish NASCAR would do like the smaller short tracks?
Man, that's a tough one. You know, over the years, I think NASCAR, I'm not sitting here going to bash NASCAR because NASCAR's great. They've done a great job over the years. But I just kind of think NASCAR's maybe forgotten where they come from a little bit. I think NASCAR, but time has changed. People have changed. You gotta entertain people differently nowadays. I wish they would get back more towards the short track routes. I think if you don't make it in that day, you know, I know we all have sponsors and we want to race, but I think the time has come where, you know, if you didn't qualify in, there's no provisionals. You got to race your way in through heat races or something like that. I think if you were to get the fans excited and shorten the races, run some heat races and things like that, it would make for a lot better racing. We got to get the fans involved, and we even got to make some changes on short track side yeah. of things, not just NASCAR, but short track's, you know, hurting a little bit too. So there's a lot of things that can go on. You know, I think the good old boys, you got to forget, you know, where racing come from, good old boys sport, I believe. So hopefully we can get back there one day.
Well, NASCAR's always listening and wanting to know and looking, you know, watching the short track, see what you guys are doing. And I know the format changed for the Martinsville race that you just ran over. Last year it was inversions and a lot of crashing and pushing and shoving going on. This year it was more of a straight up race, and I say that because you got to drive for Dale Jr. And what was that process like?
It was, when I got the phone call, I was just amazed. You know, you grew up thinking, you know, you I mean, that was your heroes when you grew up, and now getting the opportunity to race for them, it's amazing. And not only for me, but all my guys that's helped me along the way, and sponsors and things like that. That's big for me. That's going to the next level, to be able to drive a junior motorsports race car. And I'm sure you drove for them. I mean, that's pretty awesome. And you know, it was a great experience. Hopefully we can do it again in the future. Dale Jr. is, you know, a lot of people don't get to see, but he's a cool guy.
Yeah.
He's awesome. Yeah. And just talking on the phone, he called me the other day. The baby was crying in the background. I thought that was cool, you know, because I got kids, and he didn't care, you know. He's just talking, but it's amazing. It's neat.
What was as a driver, did you learn anything new or different, or were they basically doing the same thing you're doing? And how did the car perform, and what was the communication like?
Well, they gave me a nice piece, I mean, to begin with. And just me and Josh, you know, Josh has been very successful in late model stock world. And we started with something similar to what he starts with, and just our driving techniques and things, and me not being accustomed to the brake package. They have the stock GM brakes, and, you know, we have good brakes on our cars, our Super Late Models. So getting adjusted to that, his braking points were a lot different in the way I drive versus him, as far as arcing it in the corner and driving it straight. So he loads the front end a lot different than I do. So we had to work around a lot of his setup, what he liked and what I liked. So we bounced a lot of ideas off of each other. I learned a lot. Hopefully I brought something for the table for them to possibly make their program better. I can make my program better at the same time. So it was good. It was good working with those guys. They're smart guys. They're the late model guys, you know. It's awesome to be a part of it.
And did it seem like a bigger operation to you? Did you look around and say, man, this is really special to get to do this? Or was it just a short track race on a Saturday night at the end? I know.
Yeah, it's just going in there. They have all the technology they need. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm not gonna say they don't use it. But at the end of the day, I felt like I was walking in my shop. The way they run things, the way they did things, even though it's a big organization, a big team, they're true blue collar racers. Josh and Brian over there, they've done a great job. So I felt right at home when I walked in. It was pretty cool.
And I feel like that you learned, but I know Josh probably benefited from you being there as well.
Yeah, we were able to bounce a lot of ideas off of each other. He said after the race, he kind of took some things what I learned from last year at the Martinsville race, which as far as I've never run on concrete. So that was the first time, you know, I'd ran at Martinsville in the late model stock. So, you know, the rubber, man, it took rubber, you know, really fast.
And it
really
changed.
And it built up, and it changed the balance of the race car tremendously. And last year I was able to run around it and move my way up toward the front. And he said, you know, after the race, you know, I listened to you say that the other day, and out there out front, which he had a car he could move around and play, we wasn't that lucky, you know, but he could move around and move, change his line for the rubber, and he said he got faster. So I thought that was pretty cool.
This is just racer wanting to know. Was it right around the curb, or could you move up and make some ground?
Well, you could. You had to be careful. It was spotty. You know, you had to pretty much run right around the curb, but if you arced it in and change your entrance, you could, you know, run through it and run out of it real quick. So it was mostly from the center off, and you could how you entered the corner determine how you could get off and run around that rubber, and it was tricky, but we were able to do it.
CJ, I think there's a question on there about super late models versus late model stock. I want to know that myself.
And so let me run through my list here real quick and find it, because there was a good one that was submitted from Jay on Reddit. And they
you see
like
what he did
know.
There? He started talking while he was looking. You know, that's just he's a professional.
I was trying to cover it.
You can see that.
Jay wants to know the difference between a late model, a limited late model, and a super late model, and which you prefer to race and why.
Man, I don't know much about the limited late models, but I think in they're pretty much similar to a late model stock.
But just a smaller engine, maybe?
I think so. Yeah. But there's a lot of difference in our straight rail cars versus a perimeter chassis, you know, in the late model stock. So we're a lot lighter. Our cars doesn't have the overturn mass, things like that. They have equal length lowers, lower A-frames.
In the late model stock.
In the late model stock.
So it's basically, it's almost like a cup car.
It is pretty much identical to a cup car. Their brake package is a lot different. They're just stock GM braking, so there's no brakes. It's tricky to keep the brakes under those things at Martinsville
for
200 laps. So that was a challenge. And then the steering box, we're not accustomed to the steering box. We have a rack and pinion. So there's a lot of difference. I'm used to 650 horsepower motors, and these have 500. So the weight difference stopping these cars, and a lot of momentum. You know, I struggled. My car felt good at Martinsville the other day, but I couldn't get any momentum going. I was thinking, man, that super's going to pull me out of the hole with all that horsepower, and it wasn't the case at all. So it took me a little while to get used to that. And but there's a lot of differences, but you really drive the cars the same once you drive it off your seat of your pants, you know. So as far as getting the feel you wanted, they're all the same. And but it took some time to get used to. It's hard to run those cars once a year and jump in that thing. So we had a lot of fun.
So I'm going to ask this too, because just racer guy wants to know, did you find yourself with the less horsepower, you run some laps, you come in and feel like you're slow?
No, I feel like I was slow. I was going nowhere. I was struggling. And they were like, you are slow.
because it was different, right?
And so that helped out a lot with the confidence and things. But they're like, you're slow. But just getting the momentum up on that thing is tough. And you couldn't be the least little tight. Or kill the momentum any, and the super late models are a lot more forgiving. You can, if you mess up, you can make up for it because you got so much motor. And this is not the case at all. It takes you a lap or two, three to get it back if you lose momentum. So, it was tough.
I went to. You ever raced that Shady Bowl?
I've never been to Shady Bowl. I've always heard about it.
It's crazy. First of all, but I went there and raced a 4-cylinder Toyota Corolla,
that'd be fun. It'd be awesome.
And it was front-wheel drive. Yeah. And I've never on a quarter-mile track or 3/8, whatever it is, ran nearly wide open. And that's what you do in those silly things. You'd go down in there and let off and then and then just bury the gas because there wasn't any power. But the momentum and the speed through the corners was crazy. And I remember when I was slow, by the way. I think it's because I'm fat, but I'm not sure.
That's my problem.
I was a couple of three to four tenths off, and during the race, I learned that with that car, you drove it sideways, and I'm watching these guys up ahead of me, running them sideways, and I'm thinking my old ass is saying if he hangs that out too much and catches that guy, he's gonna go that way.
That's right.
And one of them went that way right over some guy's hood, and I was like, I knew that was gonna happen. But racing, no matter whether you're in what you're in. It comes down to just wanting to beat the other guys, no matter what you're driving.
It is, man. It's competitive. I mean, me and Josh were teammates this weekend, but, I mean, Josh wanted to outrun him. I wanted to outrun him, you know. But it is. It's competitive, man. I got that fire to win. I just whatever you may be driving, you know, whatever it is. But I just I love to win. I want to win. As you get beat. You run second, you're the first loser. That's what I was taught. So it's tough losing, but you gain, you know, just when you lose like that, it just makes me want it more. So it's tough.
No, not very many people have won half their races, and roughly that's where you're at in 2019. So and tell me a little bit about the. I just know Bubba Pollard from the pavement racing. Tell me about your dirt tracking.
Man, I tell you, dirt track. I wish I'd have started a lot sooner. I enjoy it, man. It's just so much pressure. Just
can you win?
I win. I don't know if I can win all the time, but we get lucky. We have some fun right there at the house. We struggle going to other places, but when I'm off not traveling, I want to race. I love racing. My wife lets me do it. You know, that's tough, but she wants us at home. But yeah, she allows me to do it. We got the dirt track a half mile from the house. It's just in the backyard. So we'll go over there, load it up 5-6 o'clock in the afternoon, and go race. I mean, and have fun. But just you don't have to worry about the pressure or to perform. Just go over there, have fun, let loose. And the car, we ended up racing a Crate Lake Mall, which is very, you know, it's still the same type of car as a Super, just the engine package is a lot different. But yeah, we have fun. I wish I could do it every weekend, really. It's a lot of fun.
Well, when do you golf? I don't understand.
Man, my golf game struggles. Usually when I want a Sunday evening off and have a few beers or something, we'll go out there and hang out. Usually I don't play once every couple of years. I still go out there and whoop those guys that play every week. I don't know about that.
I don't have a hard time believing that. What else you got, CJ? Anything fun?
All right. So
I got a couple of questions too, but I want to hear what our listeners, our viewers want.
They had some fun ones. Everybody knows we're going to Talladega, and that is kind of known as NASCAR's party track. And Brendan wants to know which track that you've raced on has the best party atmosphere.
All of them.
Yeah, as soon as that checkered flag falls, right?
Right. We raced a lot of different places over the years. But I tell you what, going to Oktoberfest in La Crosse is amazing. I've never seen
La Crosse, Wisconsin.
La Crosse, Wisconsin.
Yeah,
and we were terrible there. I guess it's because we always party too much. but we always go there, you know, 4 or 5 nights and race. And when we get done, man, the fans come in. They have a pavilion building, and everyone they'll have a band going there, and everyone hangs out, parties, and 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, got to be at the racetrack 7 again. So it's tough, but that's where we have our fun at every year.
That's cool.
So it's fun.
I went to Orange County Fair Speedway. Where Stuart Friesen,
okay,
the guy that owns his dirt team, mm-hmm, and his truck team, he owns that track.
Okay.
And if you ever want to go, I wouldn't recommend being a driver and do this, but if you ever want to go have fun,
yeah.
I went to this to their races a couple weeks ago, and they've got a bar, like, it's the grandstands, and behind the grandstands, there's a big bar.
Mm-hmm.
And the fans are all crammed in there drinking and having a good time. And I thought, well, this is kind of fun. Went up in the grandstands, watched Stewart race, those super, what are they called? Big block modifieds.
Yep.
Yeah. So watched them race the big block modifieds. And then when the race is over, I said, I guess we'll all go to that bar.
Mm-hmm.
It's there. And I was right. That's where everybody went. And so at about 2 a.m, I'm like, I'm old. So I said, it's time for me to go home. They said, no, we're going back here. So Stuart and a bunch of his buddies had their campers up on the up on the hill. And I left there at 5.
Yep.
And got me an Uber. And they weren't done yet.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, these people are dedicated.
That's how they are at October. Or at Oktoberfest, you know?
Yeah.
It's they got the Pink Flamingo. So we'll go to the barn out there for a little while, and then we'll go to Pink Flamingo, and that's usually where they're not.
I thought you were saying you were drinking Pink Flamingos. I'm like, no. That doesn't sound like Bubba Pollard to me.
Not Bubba Pollard.
What about the chance to race at the fairgrounds in Nashville? That's everybody loves that racetrack, and a lot of talk about maybe NASCAR going there. How much do you enjoy that city and that track particularly?
Well, the city is awesome. I mean, that's another great place we go to have fun. And, man, Nashville has got so much history there, and it's an amazing place. I hope one day they can pull this, the NASCAR can pull it through, and Marcus and everybody, and make this deal happen. It would be great for short track racing. I think it'd be good for NASCAR, too. The plans that they have for the city there, the racetrack there, I think it'd be great. I think it would be, the only thing we was talking about earlier, The only thing I wish they wouldn't do is pave it. I know they're going to have to pave it. I like, you know, it would be tough for us short track guys to go there because of the tire and blistering and it's so fast but in our cars. But I know getting over to there, I don't know if you've been there in a while, it's real rough.
Yeah.
And they'd have to do something to the track, you know, but it'd be cool. I hope to see that place, you know, strive and move forward on it. And, man, the Formosas have done a great job there saving that place because it could have easily been taken away the last couple years.
It's been a battle, too, it seems.
They've and you need people like that to step up in short track racing to save these short tracks. So they've done a great job over there.
I just love the fact that Sterling still races over there.
Oh, it's awesome, man. Sterling walks around, and he don't say much. He just gets the job done, you know.
Yeah.
And he still wins. He won a couple weeks ago. I know he's been his health's been pretty bad here lately, but
yeah,
it's awesome to race with him and see, you know, his race cars and stuff. It's pretty cool.
Well, this year, I guess, everybody's talking about you and you're getting the recognition that you deserve. Do you think that this could lead to a ride in a truck or a Xfinity car, or do you even think about that?
You know, growing up, that was a goal, racing. But, you know, looking at things now, people ask me this all the time.
Yeah, I bet.
And
I was looking for some original content. Sorry about that, but I'm curious.
Yeah, you know, and people say don't give up. Well, I haven't given up, but I'm comfortable and I'm okay with what I'm doing. I love what I'm doing. If the opportunity arose, would I take it? Possibly, yeah. You know, is NASCAR probably a fit for me? I don't know. I'm a different, you know, but yes, I would do it. I'd like to race against those guys, and seeing Chase come up from what he has. I mean, Chase is probably one of my heroes. I mean, he's younger than I am.
Yeah.
But that guy is unbelievable. I don't think you've seen his real talent yet. Racing him, I think Bill brought him up the right way. I think nothing's been given to him. He's earned it. You know, he's won races at you know, where we have, and he's racing against us. But it's going back to me. I'm okay with doing. I'm happy with doing what I do. I do it with my family. We can go and have fun. But I would like to get the opportunity to run, you know, one or two or three races a year, and just to see where I could do it. If I may not be able to do it, so and I'm okay with that. But if it don't happen, I'm fine.
Well, Dale Jr. has that revolving car that he lets guys hop in. Has that conversation happened yet?
No. Hopefully we can get to that point. It'd be cool to run. Like,
I would love to see it.
So there's a lot of people. Man, the fan base is crazy. I just think of myself as another racer. I mean, I'm just a hardworking, go to the racetrack, race, win races, love racing. And the fan base over the last couple of years with me traveling. It's been amazing. I mean, I didn't know I had that many fans. It's pretty cool to, it makes you feel good, man. I got cheers at Martinsville the other day and the hair stood up on my arms.
That's awesome.
And that's what I get excited. That's what keeps me going and want to go to these different places and race. And I mean, it's amazing.
I love what you said about Chase because I remember, I think it was 2011. I raced, Denny Hamlin's short track challenge and Denny beat me and I ran second. And Chase ran third, and I saw him get out of the car, and he might have been 12. Yeah. I don't know. He might have been 20. I don't know how old he is, but he was a kid.
Yep.
And I couldn't believe, like, he already was that good.
Yeah.
And everywhere he's gone, he's won. And he, like you said, you got to give Bill a lot of credit for that. That's what he wanted. He's like you. He just wants to race.
Yeah.
And he's appreciative of the opportunity.
Yeah, I got a ton of respect for Bill and Chase. And, I mean, he grew up with Ricky Turner. Ricky Turner's won the Snowball Derby. Ricky's been successful in the late models. He's done a great job. You know, that whole – they put that program together over there. And I got the chance to drive for them back – I shouldn't say that on the There's more of that story, but
did you hear what we were? Where's our sign? We're unfiltered. You can say what, say whatever. Don't get you in trouble.
There's more of that story, but I had the opportunity to drive for them. And it was pretty cool. But yeah, I just have so much respect for the way Chase was brought up and learned to race, and I think he's going to do great things in the sport. He hasn't shown what he's done. He's won these road course racing, But he's going to break through here pretty soon.
And win a lot of races.
He's going to win a lot of races.
Kyle Busch has a lot of respect for you, and he has some kind words about racing with you and what you're doing. And do you have a relationship with Kyle?
Yeah, Kyle. Me and Kyle text back and forth here from time to time. You know, he tells me, oh, you don't need to be going driving that
POS.
Yeah, that junk up there. He needs to be, you know, running these late model races. But, you know, Kyle's – I respect Kyle. Kyle's a true, you know, deep down inside, people give him a lot of crap because he says he's a crybaby. Man, I just see that burning desire, him wanting to win. You know, there is probably some things he shouldn't say.
Yeah.
But it's that desire. People don't understand he wants to win. That's what we're there to do. And he has that. And I respect him for that. But, yeah, me and Kyle, you know, we talk back and forth. Kyle's actually tried to help me and tried to get some sponsorship and do some things we need to do to move on. And it's just tough. It really is. And, you know, he's looked out for me and taken care of me. So hopefully one day we can make it happen.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk. Like when he says a guy can get the job done, whether it's Eric Jones or William Byron, that goes a long way. And if he has the same words for you, I know it's sponsorship. I live this world, but there's Kyle's truck and Dale Jr.'s Xfinity car. We got to be able to figure this out.
Yeah, maybe these two guys need to talk a little bit and put something together. It'd be awesome, man.
Yeah. And tell me about being a short track racer, Saturday night guy. How do you? I mean, can you get enough sponsorship to make a living, or is it just pushing and shoving every day to make it happen?
It is. It's the last couple of years being successful and winning some races. I really turn to a lot of my product sponsors. They've been good, five-star bodies, PFC brakes, all those guys, my engine sponsors, chassis builders and things like that. They're the ones that's kept me going and building these race cars and going to the racetrack every week. Over the last couple of years, I've never grown up and really had a sponsor. My family's had to do it, you know, out of their own pocket. And we've had, you know, a little help along the ways, but my parents have really worked hard to be able to put me in this position to race like we do. And we've really leaned on product sponsors. But the last couple of years, we've gotten hooked up with harrisonsworkwear.com. Mr. Harrison's out of Spartanburg, South Carolina. He's just, man, an awesome guy. Loves racing. You don't find many guys like that love racing. Just to have that desire. I mean, he doesn't care if his name's on the car. He just wants to help out.
Yeah.
He loves short track racing. So we've gotten, you know, hooked up with him and built a great relationship. And we've had a lot of fun doing it. So everyone get online and check him out.
Yeah. But, how do you do that?
Harrisonsworkwear.com. They're local, small business, but he does a great job. I mean, I try to help out people who help me, whether it be or any type of you know, other race teams. If you see sponsors on their car, that's what we can do as race fans and drivers, is to help these sponsors. You know, even though they're sponsoring other drivers, we got to help support them. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what makes this short track racing go and things like that. So been lucky over the years to surround myself by great people, and you know, you got to have great people
to make this
deal happen. So we've been fortunate.
And is it Harrison?
Harrisonsworkwear.com.
Harrison's Workwear. What do they work on?
They have public safety, and they also have a clothing line. They have Carhartt, Ariat, boots, things like that.
Spell it right.
You're right. So
now that's a sponsor plug.
Yes.
Let's go
that's
online.
Awesome.
Let's help out Bubba.
Yeah.
Maybe we can figure this Kyle Busch, Dale Jr. thing out after all.
There you go. Yeah. And but they have a clothing line. They have Carhartt, Columbia. Anything you need to, I tell a lot of teams to go on there, you know, the Dickies, the things like that, you wear it to the racetrack, pants, shoes, go online, check them out. You can get it through them, wear what you need to at work on Monday.
Love that. That's a good, that works in your world, because it's guys that go to the racetrack on Saturday night and
yep.
show up Monday morning ready to go to work.
Oh yeah, they've done a great job putting things together and making it happen for us, so hopefully everyone go out and support them.
Yeah, I'd love that. Well, what's it like at home? Are you there Monday, Tuesday? Like the family, everything good there?
Family's great. I mean, you know, I say that's the reason I've won some races over the last couple of years. Just settling down and having a family, having a wife, it takes a special woman to live out these races. And, it's tough on them. And to be gone, you know, some weeks, you know, last couple of weeks I haven't been at home at all. So it's been tough. It's been tough at home. And to have two little girls, I mean, there's no.
How old are they?
I have a 3-year-old and a 3-month-old.
Wow.
And, man, it's amazing. She got mad at Martinsville the other night, my oldest one. So we've taught her to, Daddy wins, we're going to go get our picture made. She wants to get her picture made. She thinks I win, you know.
Well, you do.
Hold up number one. That's what she wants to do at home, you know. So it's pretty cool to see her excited when we win. The other, she thought I won Martinsville. And she was, my wife, they showed me videos and pictures. They were in the stands because she can't go in the pits. And she was mad because she thought I won. And she was wanting a picture made.
Yeah.
I'm a picture made. And she had to explain it to her. But it's cool, man, to go to work during the day and come home and see your little girl, excited to see you. Man,
yes.
That's amazing. So I have a great family, mom and dad, sister. My sister helps me. She spots for me, does my tires.
Does she?
Yep. And we've taught her years ago the most important two people is the tire guy and the spotter, you know. So we've taught her.
You made her the tire guy.
Made her the tire guy. and it's down to the 16th of an inch.
I bet.
So, yeah, I give her a hard time and stay on top of it, but they do a great job. I have an awesome family.
Those are bi-spy tires, right?
They are, you know. They and with the we have to stay on top of it. We have to run a spool, so 1/8 inch, 1/4 inch, it costs you a day.
Yeah.
So you have to stay on top of it.
That, in my opinion, that would make NASCAR short track racing more fun.
I think so.
I mean, I remember when we were on bi-spy tires when I first started, you'd slide around everywhere.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
It looked like dirt racing sometimes.
Yeah. It takes you know, 3 or 4 or 5 laps for it to come in.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then it'll get away from you in a hurry,
it
too.
Sure will.
That's pretty
sure
cool. Your sister's your spotter. I never thought about that.
Yep.
My
she
sister
talks to me just calm.
Does she?
Well, she'll get mad at me sometimes, cuss me out. No, she don't. But she can get fired up, you know. And she's just got that calm demeanor. I don't like anyone to get excited over the radio.
Right.
Stay calm.
If anybody, it's going to be you, right?
Yeah. I can get fired up for sure, about every week. But, yeah, it's cool to have her on there. She knows what I like to listen to, like to hear. It's important to have somebody telling you what's going on and what you need to hear and what you don't need to hear. There's good information and bad information. So sometimes spotters can be our worst enemy, you know, getting us fired up and things. So it works out good.
That's cool because y'all grew up. Your grandpa had a racetrack, and I guess – did she ever want to drive? How did that work?
Yeah, it didn't work out so well. No, we gave it up to. So when I started racing, I actually went straight. My dad always raced growing up at Sonoya. He always raced, and we grew
I
up
raced Sonoya 1 year. I don't remember when it was. When was it dirt?
So it was dirt probably from 69, 70 to 86, 87. So, and then they paved the place in 88, 89.
Yeah, I must have raced when it was pavement, but I remember that name. I remember getting off
maybe
the air.
Maybe All Pro days? Was it All Pro?
No, it was like the, you know, me and Dale or,
okay,
or Rusty or whomever.
Yeah.
Would get together and we had a promoter, Bruce Patrum, who would take us to those tracks and we'd run some.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun getting to see different tracks. It was hot as hell. I remember that.
It was hot.
Yeah.
It was hot.
And so you and your sister grew up at the racetrack.
Yeah, we grew up racing with my dad, running around the pits barefooted and my dad there, you know, I always showed interest in it, and he got me a legend car, and we raced legend cars for 4 or 5 years, and she'd get in it, and she didn't do so hot, but we told her she needed to stick to something else. So
she couldn't keep up with you?
She couldn't get it done, so we wasn't going to spend the money not to get it done. But, yeah, just growing up in legend cars, and then my dad went to racing late models while I was racing legend cars, and one day we were at the track, we were practicing, testing, and he said, if you can run faster than I can, you can have it. And he ate his words that day, I guess.
Is that right?
So that was pretty much the end of it. And he let me have it. And I wasn't, you know, 13, 14 at the time. And he made me go around asking, you know, we had to ask the track owner, the promoters, hey, can he run? Because we were just running local there, Sonoy. And we went around to all the drivers and asked them if they were okay. And got respect to those guys and just kind of moved up and
nice.
Kept it going. So we've been racing late models for almost 20 years now. So
how about that?
That's what it's crazy to think we've been doing it that long.
How many wins in 20 years?
So the first couple of years I've struggled. I've gotten over, you know, in the last 10 years, I know we won over 100. So they've been keeping up with it. But late model wins, I think it's like 150, 160.
Holy cow. So, that's Dick Trickle, Mike Eddy, Bob Seneker. That's in that class.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Those guys, man, growing up and hearing, they got to race. Man, I'd love to get to race in that era.
Yeah.
You know, and speaking of Bob Seneker, you know, you always heard about him growing up. Now I'm racing a Seneker race car, you know, and Bob's nephew.
That's a nice hat.
You like that?
Is that Seneker race cars?
Seneker race cars. So, done a great job. But
they still in where are they?
Michigan.
Michigan, that's right. So, I get all those Michigan,
they're
Wisconsin.
They're all the same up there. Yeah. All the northern guys, right?
I get it all mixed up.
Yeah. So, yeah, we've run some trucks over in the last couple of years, like some pro trucks down at the house. We run some modifieds and the dirt cars and things like that. So we've got, you know, 200 plus wins, legend cars and everything like that. So we try to win as much as we can.
Well, one of my good buddies, one of the racers that I respect and love a lot is Daniel Hemric. We had him on the show a couple of weeks ago. He won a big legends race, and
yeah,
you know, he said he got a third of the money, and yeah, he used it to buy cars and yeah, keep on racing. And I just wonder, you're a little bit older than Daniel. Did y'all's paths cross on the track?
We did. Daniel, I put Daniel in the class with Chase. I mean, the kid is,
that's cool. Me too.
Yeah, he's an awesome guy on and off the racetrack, mm-hmm, and got a lot of respect for what he's done. It takes a special person to push like he's done and overcome the things he's come. And winning that legend car race was big for him. And I remember the first race me and Daniel run together, because I've always heard of Daniel. And winning the race, the legend car race, he was driving for Jeff Foltz at Lanier Speedway. I think it was in a January race. And those legend cars, you get to shove in a little bit. And me and Daniel, he was fast. I think we were running second and third. I think Chase was winning that day, leading that day. Couldn't catch Chase. And Daniel, right down 5:10 to go on a restart, he's just beating my back bumper off. I'm like, man, this is what this guy's used to, you know? So we kind of had our little differences, and I went over to him after the race. I said, man, you can do this stuff in a legend car, but you can't do that in a late model. Well, I understand you can rub, you know, 10 to go, you can get down to racing. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that. It's because you know, you gotta push and grind sometimes. But it was crazy. And then me and Daniel after that, that was in the story. We had respect for each other. I think he's a great race car driver. I hope to see him do well. I hate to see what happened to him. I think you never know what's gonna come for him. I think he'll rebound. He'll get back. He's got that burning desire to get back and get it done.
So I'm curious. You raced against him, and you saw him get those opportunities, and you raced against Chase. And is it hard? Do you ever wonder why?
Yeah, I do. But I look at Chase and I look at Daniel. They earned it. It is frustrating to see not only myself but other guys work hard and never get the opportunity. Mm-hmm. It is tough, but I'm okay with some people, and I got a lot of respect for people that earn it. I think that's one reason that Chase has a fan base so well, because I think he come up through short tracks and he earned it. He won races, and that's why he has such a big following in NASCAR. And Daniel has a lot of fans too. So I think that's what NASCAR needs, is your local heroes. You need a Daniel Hemric. You need a Chase Elliott that earned their way through and now is at NASCAR. And I have struggled there for a while and wondered why, but you know, I don't worry about that anymore. I love doing what I do and being successful. So if this is my level of racing, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I don't worry about that anymore. Yeah. You said this is where I am.
Yeah.
Who do you know, any other kids, 12-year-olds that caught your eye, or any guys that maybe are racing like you are, and you think that guy's pretty good?
There's a lot of them out there nowadays. Going back to, I think William Byron's a good race car driver.
Yeah.
He moved up probably quicker than anyone I've seen. He raced with us a year or two and he was gone.
Yes.
But he's shown it. He's a good race car driver.
He went to high school with my daughter.
Oh, really?
And I remember when she was like a sophomore in high school, she called me one day and she said, Dad, there's a kid in my class that is going to be a NASCAR driver. Yeah. Is he any good? And I said, well, we'll see, honey.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like after the half of a season, I do the trucks on TV, half the season, his rookie year, I called her up and said, yep,
he
there's a few of them you see come in, yep, and you know that they're going, yeah, far. Yeah. And he was one of them.
Yeah. I think Ty Majeski's another one. He's a good, his talent's unbelievable. He's gotten some great opportunities with his crew chief at Toby Newman from the Wisconsin area, and the results show it. They win. They won this weekend at Oktoberfest.
They did?
They did.
Did Matt race?
No, Matt didn't race. Johnny was there. I don't think Johnny did too well.
I saw him putting his car together, yeah, or taking it apart. I can't remember which.
He's a mess, man. He'll come over to me. He's like, man, I don't know why this thing's terrible. But Johnny, he's fun.
He's a great guy.
He is. He's a good old racer.
He just wants to race his truck and be done with it.
That's it. But yeah, I think Ty's the next one. I think if he can get a shot.
Didn't Matt move Ty out of the way to win at Slinger?
He did.
That was an awesome video.
It was a great race. It was probably one of the – we fell out early that day. We got in a little incident, not left front off, and I got to watch the race, and that was a good race. But I raced with Eric Jones. Eric's another good one.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of guys out there that just need the opportunity, that breakthrough, and to get it done. So,
well, have you raced in Canada?
We have. We won the Jocasa.
Yeah, right, I didn't know how to say it, so I thought I'd get you to do it.
Yeah, we raced the – I don't know how to do it either. we raced the Short Track Nationals 2 years in a row, and we won. And, man, they're doing an awesome job there.
That track, they redid it, right? Wasn't they redid it. Was that what it used to be?
I can't remember what they used to call it.
Y'all remember? Dan, add something. What do you got?
Was it Claremont?
No.
No?
No.
It was I think I raced there once.
I can't remember, yeah.
Ford, you got nothing?
I got nothing.
All right. We'll figure it out later.
But yeah, it's they've repaved the place. Facility's awesome, and they're paying big money.
Really?
Canadian money. Man, those Canadians keep taking my money. They take, let's see, last year they took like $18,000
off your check.
Yes. So the exchange there is terrible. So,
but someone asked me a couple years ago, how do you fix NASCAR? I said, I think you just move it to Canada.
Yeah.
Those people love NASCAR.
They do,
the racing up there is the short track racing. When we go to Mosport, Canadian Tire Motorsports Park. Mm-hmm. It's just crazy how passionate those fans
are
about their racing.
They have some great fans out there, and they are. We sell a lot of merchandise when we go up there and things, so it's cool. But it paid $50,000 year before, and then $75,000 this year.
So wow,
we've done a
that'll buy some
there.
That'll buy some tires.
Yeah, definitely. So why do you want me on the show? You've had all these celebrities and all these, like, Daniel Hemric and William Byron.
Yeah, I've had some great guys on, but I love a good story, and I want people to know, I want to get to know people better. So when I started this podcast, the big bonus that I've gotten is I actually talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a dude, you know. We golf, we drink beer, we say, "Hey, how you doing? Good.
Right.
How you doing?"
Yeah.
We don't dig into this, you know. So be able just to meet you, and I might have met you before, but get to know you better, and let people at home know that there's grinders out there, and you have risen to a point where Dale Jr. calls you to drive his late model. Kyle Busch texts you to tell you you're doing a great job. What I'm saying is these are stars, and you've gained their respect, and you've won races, and they love what you do. And there's so many kids out there that want to be like you. You know, they want that attention, and they want that respect. And I just appreciate how you've clawed to where you are, and I don't know, hopefully we can get some people to go here, maybe get a little bit of cash, we get in that truck or one of those Xfinity cars. I just want to see it.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate that, you know. It is cool to see those guys. You know, we've worked hard over the years to be successful, and it's taken a lot of time, money, and effort, and a lot of people to get to this point. And this is, I may never get to this, but this is amazing for me to be able to get this recognition. I don't think as myself is doing anything, just going out winning races and working hard. But it is cool, you know. It does show, like you said, some of these guys that don't make it. It is okay to race short tracks forever. It is okay to to go and race and win races. It's you don't have to make it to the next level, but we all want to. But it is okay to be here, and we need the Dick Trickles and guys like that. That's that I always grew up, whether it be me or Ty Majeski or whoever it is. So it is cool.
You know what? When I was a kid, I remember Junior Johnson trying to hire my brother, and he's, you know, to get a good ride back in the day, Junior Johnson made this quote: "You need to be in your late 29s or early 30s." So
I agree with that statement. You know, growing up and racing at a young age, I feel like, you know, some of these guys do it much earlier than I did, but I didn't feel like I was to my potential. You know, I went and done the Gong Show back in 2005, and I was 18 years old. I was not ready by no means. I didn't need to be in that position. If I had to go back and do it now, I think I could do a lot better job. I have a better chance. But yeah, it's amazing to know see what you've learned over the years. I don't feel like I've matured as a race car driver until my late 20s, early 30s. I feel like I'm just now kind of feel like I'm in my prime. So hopefully I'm keep it going. Hopefully I ain't done. So
yeah. Where are you off to this weekend?
This weekend we got the weekend off.
Nice.
So we're gonna take it and spend with the family. We got a couple more races. We got New Smyrna Southern Super Series race down there, and also we'll go to the Governor's Cup, which is in New Smyrna. We're gonna drive for David Rogers. I don't know if you know David. He's been sick a little bit here lately.
Has he?
He's a short track legend. I mean, down in the state of Florida and anywhere. So very fortunate, very lucky to get the opportunity to drive for them and TM Ranch. And we had the All-American 400 back at Nashville later this year, and then the Snowball Derby. So we got our Snowball Derby car ready this year early, prepared, hopefully. And we're not thrashing last minute. So hopefully we can get it done this year. We're going to try.
Well, man, I really appreciate you coming by.
Thanks.
And love chatting with you.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Yep.
And
I'm going to need it.
You, Kyle, Dale, Bubba, hopefully that works out. Man, I just enjoyed that. It's so cool getting to know racers and know their stories and how they look at things and what's next for them. Bubba's a great story. He does a great job behind the wheel, and I just really appreciated the time I got to spend with them. Tell your friends about Waltrip Unfiltered. Tell them to go to their favorite podcast app and add us. You can search Waltrip Unfiltered. We come right up. You can also go to Fox Sports YouTube channel or Fox Sports NASCAR channel and see some of the episodes that we've already done and preview ones that are coming up. Thank you so much for listening. I look forward to talking to you again next week.